with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, and we're looking very carefully, thanks to Charles Burton's explication, at the suggestion that a Canadian citizen, Dr. Cho, a virologist, and others were in constant communication with the Wuhan lab and were associated with, right now, the little we understand, research that could very well link it to COVID-19. None of this is proved yet. It's been years because of decisions made by the present Canadian government to hold back from releasing what it knew. We go to a detail that Charles gave us while he was explaining how we got to where we are. Cho and her husband and these other Chinese nationals are not on the scene. We don't know where they are. The lab is still, there's a photograph of the lab in the National Post. It doesn't look like it's being investigated right now. But Charles, I want to move to the immediate future because the Canadian government is dramatically different than the U.S. government. You said that Parliament is not sitting and that there may or may not be a parliamentary inquiry that's adequate to all of this. I'm struck by how that detail that the government, under pressure from Parliament in 2021, during the height of the crisis, the vaccines were just coming online, called an election in order to avoid being pressed by Parliament. My memory is that that election of 21, along with the election of 2019, are under investigation for Chinese intervention and manipulation. Is that correct, Charles?
Yes, there's currently a public inquiry underway, headed by a judge of the Quebec Superior Court, Marie-Josée Hogue, which is exploring how China interfered in the election and who is culpable. There's no suggestion that the Chinese interference actually changed the overall result of the election, but there certainly is suggestion that Chinese interference may have resulted in some parliamentary candidates who have concerns about Chinese malign activities in Canada from being reelected. But I think in general, you know, the concern would be whether the government's consistent suppression of information that would be embarrassing to the Chinese government is because some senior government policymakers have become beholden to the Chinese communist regime. Because we're seeing this over and over again. I mean, even the proposal for national security amendments to the Investment Canada Act, which is the act that reviews whether foreign investments are of net benefit to Canada, are very weak in terms of constraining the Chinese regime. So one sees a pattern here of a Canadian government that consistently, while speaking a good line about collaborating with the United States and like-minded allies to meet the challenge of China's increasing threat to national security and sovereignty, consistently doesn't take any effective action similar to what's going on in our allied nations to constrain China. And this latest event does suggest that there may have been some Canadian government complicity in permitting the People's Liberation Army to use a Canadian research facility to engage in very sensitive research of benefit to the regime. The way the report puts it is awareness and lack of candor regarding your activities with individuals and entities of a foreign government. Well, I mean, that's China, you know. And so one would expect that there should be more investigation and that those who may have been directly or indirectly serving for a foreign government's interest should be made to account for that. But the government doesn't want any further investigation beyond the current released documents. I don't think the opposition will tolerate just letting this matter lie.
Gordon, you have a question.
Charles, it's clear that the governing Liberal Party has been thoroughly penetrated by China. What about the opposition Conservatives?
Well, that hasn't been tested yet because the Conservatives, of course, aren't in power as yet. We certainly have concerns about certain senior figures in the Conservative milieu, people, former cabinet ministers in the Harper regime who seem to have disturbingly close relations with Chinese communist business networks. But, until the Conservatives come into power and we see that they actually, say, implement a, Canadian version of the Foreign Agents Registry Act, another piece of legislation that the government has suggested will not be enacted because it's, as they put it, complicated. Until we see the proof of the pudding is in the tasting, in other words, until we see the Conservatives doing what we think they should be doing, we can't really say if this is going to be a matter that will be resolved by a change of government or not.
The inquiry underway now by Parliament, does it go to answering questions about Cho's whereabouts, about how Cho was handled? Does Parliament have that authority?
Well, I mean, certainly parliamentary committees, for example, the Special Committee on Canada-China Relations, the existence of which the government objects to, or other committees of Parliament, have been looking at this. But where they've been stymied has been the government's refusal to release documents which are top secret classified. In other words, the intelligence agency's assessments of Chinese espionage in Canada, which were sent to the center of the government, some of which were then leaked to the Globe and Mail newspaper. We don't know who knew what and when and why, when they were apprised of these very serious allegations against the Chinese regime, that no action was taken to address them. So the current public inquiry is facing the same issue, where they are requesting declassification of documents and the government is refusing to do so. The judicial procedures to try and force this would be so lengthy that the period of the inquiry, which is supposed to terminate at the end of this year, will be passed before we'll have any ability to obtain the information that we need to know what's really going on between Canada and China.
And they called an election in 21 to stop the inquiry. Is that a possibility again?
Well, I mean, they called an election in 2021. I think the government hoping to achieve a majority, which would have meant that they could have stopped any further inquiry by parliamentary committees into this matter. They didn't say, we don't know if it's directly connected. That's a circumstantial assumption. The idea that they might call another election, yes, I mean, it's possible. But of course, with the current polls, if they call another election at this time, it would probably be the largest Conservative majority in Canadian history, and Mr. Trudeau's government would be toast. So if they did that, that would really suggest a desperation on the part of people to try and put an end to any further questions about the relationship between the Canadian political elite and the Chinese communist regime. I can't rule it out.
Gordon, somebody in Canada did us the favor of rolling over a rock and we're flabbergasted what we're finding. Are you surprised, Gordon? We just have a few seconds.
Well, certainly, John. And I think really we should put it this way, that another Five Eyes partner, probably the United States, was so disturbed by the attitudes and the actions of the Trudeau government that they actually leaked this information to the National Post. That seems to me much more credible than people in Canada, leaking this to the paper. So that's a concern, that it took us to do this.
Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Charles Burton of McDonnell Laurier Institute. To be continued. I'm John Nash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,